The following podcast is scheduled for one awesome show and has a time limit of 60 minutes. And here are your hosts. Grapple Talk. What is up, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Nick Ragner, joined by my esteemed colleague, AC Riley.
Hi.
And new SWE Tag Team Champion, spoiler alert.
Oops.
How's everybody doing today? How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing pretty fine. How about you?
I'm not doing too bad. It's Grapple Talk time, man. And whenever Grapple Talk time is on, I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, it's always good to hear, man.
It's always good to hear, and what else is good to hear is to make sure that our audience members know about all the shows coming up this weekend. And AC Riley, why don't you start us off, man?
I will be starting us off with Bruce City Wrestling. That is this Friday. It's going to be at the Nice Cook of Columbus, 1800 South 92nd Street, in West Dallas, Wisconsin. Bell time is 7:30. Doors open just 45 minutes ahead, so 6:45. Tickets are $15 or $10 on the website if you go head over to www.brewcitywrestling1.com and then you use PayPal and boom, you are getting your tickets for $5 off.
Discount.
And you can use that $5 for like beer or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what you want to do.
Already signed, we have the Beer City Bruisers. It's so confusing because it's Brew City and Beer City, so it's like, for the longest time, I swear, I thought it was the Brew City Bruisers.
I feel like I've called them that plenty of times, too, actually.
But make no mistake, it's the Beer City Bruisers taking on Anarchy, Inc. So we're going to see four great competitors, Matt Winchester, Nick Colucci, Rough Crossing, and Brandon Blaze.
Oh,
so
that's
going to be a slobber knocker of a tag team match. We'll also be seeing the stars of CMLL Lucha Libre. So that'll be exciting. You also see a ladies match, ladies titles on the line as Stacey Shadows defends against Melanie Cruz.
Seen them before.
You also see Psychotic Rage go toe-to-toe, Jim Blaze and Mitch Blake. And then, of course, more tag team action as the Urban Assault team defends their title against Assault and Battery with the Mouth of the Midwest, which is JP.
You almost said Wid Pest. I don't know why you would say that, but you almost said Wid Mest.
That would be a very...
Wid Mest.
That would be funny if like there was like a Mouth of the Midwest and a Mouth of the Wid Pest PJ.
That'd be weird.
But basically, card subject to change, but there's going to be more Fandom Mono matches announced quite soon. And
so, yeah.
You imagine they're going to be announced here pretty soon because it's only a few days away because that's Brew City Wrestling on Friday.
And even
in
if
West
they're
Ellis.
Not announced right away, I mean, there's always a lot of talent that hits up BC Dub. And really quick, I just want to comment on something. Is it just me or have you also noticed that it seems like Jim Blaze and Mitch Blake? We've seen them going toe to toe rather than teaming up a lot more lately. Have you noticed that at all?
They've been going toe to toe quite a bit. You are not mistaken on that.
They do not like each other anymore. Coming up on Saturday, Pro Wrestling Battleground. That's this Saturday, as I said, at 6 p.m. at Wilebski's Blues Saloon, 1638 Rice Street in St. Paul, Minnesota. 55117, the zip code for St. Paul. In the main event, we're going to be seeing Battleground champ Playboy Pete Huge taking on the Husky Heartthrob Cody Rice. Another match, the anarchist Eric Cannon taking on, or as Ryan Brown likes to say, Arc Cannon, taking on the extremist. Yeah, that's what
I forgot about that.
He calls him Arc Cannon. Also taking on the extreme assassin Craven Knight. You're also going to see Udo Mangelsdorf taking on Darren Corbin, Ryan Cruz taking on The Prophet. We'll also have a two-on-one match for the Breakout Championship, the King of Throwdown, Venom, taking on Luther Wilson III and Federline Sex. If Luther or Federline defeat Venom, then Luther, just Luther, becomes the new Breakout Champ, so odds are obviously in Luther's favor. PJ Thorne also taking on Dirty Ernie is another match advertised. Doors open at 5:30, as I said. Bell starts 6 p.m., Tickets are only $10 for adults, $5 for kids. Tickets are only $10. Like, hear that, man. So hit up St. Paul for Pro Wrestling Battleground.
And then next Saturday, we're going to have two shows that we are aware of.
Two shows.
Two shows, but there's probably going to be more. But two shows that we're going to talk about because we don't have a whole lot of time. We just have an hour podcast.
We have an hour.
Well, starting things off is that in Illinois, we'll see Power Entertainment's Keys to the Kingdom. That's at the VFW Post 9284 on 400 Devon Avenue. Doors open.
Get the tables!
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Doors open at 6, bell time at 7. Tickets are $10 advance and $15 at the doors. So how do you get that advance? Well, just like with Brew City Wrestling, you go on over to their website, which is powerentertainment.com. You pay on PayPal, and boom, you got $5 off.
It's that easy.
Going to be seeing a lot of good stuff over here. We got elite players putting both the world title and the independent title on the line against Psychotic Rage. So it's going to be two singles matches. You want to clarify that as well. So
yeah.
Both members of the elite players will be facing off against Psychotic. Jim Blaze and Mitch Blake will be also going for the title. So that'll be interesting. We'll see hashtag Glitter Bomb versus the Regulators. They've been definitely going toe-to-toe in the latest of POW Entertainment.
Yes.
We'll be also seeing the Keys of the Kingdom Battle Royal.
Keys. Keys or not?
Another thing, too, is that it'd be interesting to see what will happen with Mikey Wilde, because last time there was a show with Mikey Wilde, he just kind of cleaned house. Seemed like he was kind of fed up with doing the things that people expect him to do. So
really?
Should be interesting to see what Mikey Wilde does over there. We also see current TNA Impact stars
that
influence Christopher Daniels and Kazarian. So that's always exciting to see.
Don't touch my mic.
And again, more details at powellentertainment.com. I'm going to stop touching your mic when you stop talking over me.
Oh my gosh, man. Just
wrap it up.
Some character.
Take it home. What is also going on?
Trying to add some character to the show. UPW Lord of Hardcore in 2014 on Saturday, April 26th. That's going to be UPW Underground 19 North 19. What the hell is that all about? Is 19 the address number? Is that what that is?
19 is the number, North 9th Street.
Oh, there's so little amount of numbers in that, it kind of confused me. In Gladstone, Michigan, doors open at 6, bell time at 7. There's your second annual DAF match tournament. Fans bring the weapons. UPW Heavyweight Championship on the line. Seth Gambino taking on Dysfunction. Then we have Thumbtacks and Legos, which I'm not sure which one hurts more. Like, you know, Legos hurt, you know. You ever stepped on one when you're just walking around the house? It's like the most painful thing you could ever do. Seth Gambino taking on Dysfunction in that matchup. Just kidding. I just said that. Actually, it's Chase McCoy taking on Joseph Schwartz taking on in that Thumbtacks and Legos matchup. Then we also have Full Metal Mayhem. We'll see Mark Priebe taking on Joey Avalon. That's weird. They team up. Isn't that Inkjet Express? Is that right?
That is Inkjet Express.
They're taking each other on. Then we also have Taipei Deathmatch. Now, I'm sorry if I said that wrong. But look at this. Peter B. Beautiful is taking on Darkchild. So, yeah, that's happening.
It's happening.
That's happening. And then we also the semifinals match will be a home run derby and Kitchen Nightmare. So you can only imagine, you know, maybe in the home run derby they're going to have like a couple baseball bats or something. And Kitchen Nightmare, what do you think? Like pots and pans and stuff maybe?
It'll be everything including the kitchen sink.
Ooh, nice. I like that pun. And then in the finals we're going to see a barbed-wired ropes match and whatever else they can find. Barbed-wired ropes, that sounds ridiculously crazy.
That sounds like you would not want to hit the ropes for any reason.
I wouldn't want to hit those unless I, for some reason, had on a bunch of bubble wrap around my body that I wanted to pop really fast.
But no, I would only do it if I had, like, full metal plate armor.
Full metal plate armor. You're an armor guy, I'm a bubble wrap guy.
Whoops.
Non-tournament matches, first time in UPW Ladies Death Match will be happening. Staple Gun Death Match, Randy West taking on Kiki.
We saw Randy West actually just last week.
We did, but she wasn't in a stapled gun death match. That's crazy. Then the tag team championship will also be on the line.
She was wrestling Steve Stardom, so it's about the same thing.
It's about the same thing. Tag team championships are going to be on the line. Jordy Lee and Pornstash Peter Schwanz taking on Slick Rick and Judge Jesse. Tickets are available right now at www.upwprowrestling.com.
So I want to go back to the whole Mark Priebe and Joey Avalon match.
Okay.
Here's what Nathan Gus said about it. Mark Priebe versus Joey Avalon, 1 hour Iron Man match. Spoiler alert, the match ends with 1-0 via overtime roll up. we might expect that on Saturday.
That's your prediction right there. That's
No, that's not mine. That's Nathan Gus's prediction.
That's I'm saying the fans. Like that's what the fans' prediction. I don't even know what I'm saying.
That's
UPW Lord of the Hardcore 2014. That's not this Saturday, but next Saturday, 19 North 9th Street in Gladstone, Michigan. Make sure you check that one out because there's gonna be a lot of stuff. Hardcore stuff going on in that.
It's gonna be hardcore, bro.
It's always interesting because it's like a different kind of match that you don't get to see very often. So that's why you know I'm always like, if you want to see a hardcore match, you know, go look at a hardcore match because it's not like the normal wrestling.
Well, moving along, let's talk about the show that we just saw this past weekend. It was Champion Night 4, which was the first show ever for SWE, and it was also its last.
Yeah, I mean, it was their last show. They're shutting down. And, man, what a turnout for their final show down at Game On Sports Bar in Beaver Dam. I mean, the place just was totally packed. And, you know, the first matchup We have a lot more matches to talk about, but pretty much the first matchup was Big Peter Schwanz taking on Judge Jesse.
Who, by the way, shameless plug, our friends over at Indie Power Ranking have him on the rankings list for this week. So shameless plug. So
shameless.
I feel like Pornstash should probably be giving us like some love because pretty much if it wasn't for us plugging them on the good old Twitter with the results, he might have not even gotten the ranking. I mean, they wouldn't have even known.
Yeah, you could say that, but you could also say, you know, if it wasn't for how good he is in the ring and how much he's progressed, he also wouldn't be in the ranking.
Well,
but
true. I mean, he's definitely deserving of the ranking. I'm just saying that, you know, there's a lot of people on this list. I mean, I'm looking at all this stuff here, like a lot of guys in Dreamwave, a lot of guys from other places as well, like Rockstar Pro Wrestling is one that that I noticed. And bottom line, like it's pretty much thanks to all these tweets and all this information, because there's so many things with the Indie Power Ranking that they can't keep track on every single promotion going on. And not to mention on Saturday, there's about 6 feds running.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's my argument for it.
So, you know, I think with the moral of the story,
I'm
going to
go for him now, actually.
You're going to go what?
I'm going to go vote for him now. There, I voted.
Good for you, man. You're one of the very few people that will actually say their votes out loud.
Yeah, and I'm going to actually look while you're... Hey, look at that. He's got 31 votes. He's got 10% of the vote.
Wow.
So he's going somewhere.
Yeah, that's actually a lot compared to what a lot of... He has so many votes.
And some people don't have any, but...
That's awesome.
What were we talking about again?
We're talking about the show, and what pretty much what happened was Big Peter Schwanz took on the Honorable Judge Jesse in the first matchup, and basically what happened was Peter Schwanz won, but what I wanted to say was, man, that crowd was just... so freaking hot for that matchup.
It was
they were
packed,
so loud.
Too.
Yeah, that's why I said that. Will you start listening more,
I
please?
Was voting. I can't be held accountable for what you said.
Anyways, so Peter Schwanz moved on. You know, we saw Dayhawk and Chase McCoy. You know, I tweeted that one out. I mean, if you want to see a grudge match, that's a grudge match right there. Those guys hate each other. You know, Chase McCoy got what he wanted. He ended up winning the matchup, regardless of Dayhawk and his goons hanging on the side of the ring. Jiggy Jack Spade wrestled.
He wrestled?
He wrestled, and he had a surprise opponent. You know who it was?
I know who it was, but the people that are listening don't.
Crazy Gorman.
Ooh.
It was Craze Gorgor, dude.
Crazy Gorgor.
He came back, and he was brawling him. I felt bad for Jiggy Jack Spade, man. He was just getting beat up left and right. In the other first-round matchup, we saw Devlin Kane taking on Dave Bell. Dave Bell pulled a fast one on him, picked up the victory, and we saw Peter Schwanz, Chase McCoy, Jiggy Jack Spade, and Outlaw Dave Bell all advancing to the Final Four. Before we talk more about the tournament matchup, though, let's talk about the Tag Team First Blood Championship match. Crazy matchup, by the way. And, you know, I talked with Jesse Monroon on the way home, Ryan Brown. We kind of thought that, you know, it might have been match of the night. And, I mean, I know you were involved in it, and you don't like to have bias and stuff. But I guess, AC Riley, what was really going through your head knowing that, you know, either you or JJ Ryan were going to possibly be busted open? I mean, I know you already were one time, but, you know, it's pretty hectic because you know you're going into a no DQ match, and you know there's going to be weapons used. So, I mean, do you have, like, butterflies? Were you a little bit more nervous than any normal matches or what?
I mean, I was a little bit nervous, but luckily for me, I heal up pretty quickly. So, I mean, like, even if you look at my top of my head where I got busted open, you can't really see anything. But at the same time, though, is that I feel like just because it would have been a little bit tougher to bust me open is the fact that that would actually would have hurt a lot. Because if it's just like, you know, if I had the scar and you could, you know, rip it open, oh, wow, he's bleeding again. Whoop, match is over.
Yep.
So it made it tougher on both sides, and it probably would have been worse because I probably would have gotten a new fresh mark, and I didn't really want to have that. So thankfully we weren't the ones bleeding, but apparently we did lose because, you know, some of that blood got wiped on J.J. Ryan's head from Sexy KC, who was the one that was bleeding. So they tried to pull a fast one, but... That's a big but, by the way.
But?
Is that we had J.J. Ryan cash in the Winter Rumble contract that he had, and then we had a rematch.
You did have a rematch. You guys ended up winning pretty much right after that. Just talking about it, though, like Sexy KC was really taking it to you, man. Like, it was his last match. You know, he probably just – I mean, I know he wanted to go out and win, but it's almost like he probably wanted to go out in a huge impact. I mean, that guy did not seem to care for you at all when he was nailing you with those signs and stuff.
Yeah, I'll be honest. This was my thought process for a lot of things. I mean, like, I've seen street signs over, like, in, like, for example, when we did that no DQ tag match with Judge and Jury. So I was familiar with some of the weapons that you usually see littered around the bottom of the ring. But all of a sudden, I had my back turned, and then all of a sudden I feel, like, this sharp pain in my back. And I'm like... what in the hell just happened? I turn around and I just see this bent crutch, a metal crutch, not a wooden crutch where it would be broken. It was a bent.
Yeah.
And like pretty much in the shape of my back, like, oh, That's why it hurt so bad. And, you know, seeing him try to come up at me again, I was like, nope, kick to the gut. I don't want to deal with that.
Really?
And then he smacked it across my knee. And
yeah,
I
see that.
A little bit of a bruise there, and that's still kind of stinging a little bit.
I feel bad for you, man. You were getting beat up pretty good, but, I mean, you guys got the win. You ended up winning the belts. And
I was happy with the match. I mean, it was really, without a doubt, one of the more competitive matches I've ever been a part in because, I mean, what better way for it to be competitive than knowing that it's one of your last matches and you want to go out on top, you know, because it was Sexy KC's last match. So, I mean, you definitely want to go out on a win for people to kind of remember you by. So, I mean, that's definitely why I understand it. And yeah. It was highly competitive.
Yeah,
and
it was.
I'm pretty sore about it.
You know, yeah, well, I imagine you must be sore. Again, it was pretty much the match of the night. But moving on along, there were still other great matchups. You know, we saw that... Jiggy Jack Spade came out to face Dave Bell in the Final Four matchup of the Champion of the Night tournament. And, those two guys ended up getting counted out. I love Jiggy Jack Spade. He always puts together just great shows, especially when he's in the ring, when he's on the mic, what have you. And Dave Bell is, one of the better technicians in this area. But those guys got counted out, so they weren't able to, the ruling was, since neither of them technically won, neither of them can move on. So then we saw Peter Schwanz and Chase McCoy as, the finals of who will be SWU champion on the last show. And it was kind of fitting, actually, too, because, Chase McCoy has been there since day one. And if you can argue what you want to argue, but he's pretty much been, I would say, consistently their biggest star. I mean, am I wrong to say that?
No, you're definitely accurate.
I think Chase McCoy, being in the last matchup was something that, had to happen. We saw, big Peter Schwanz, who's just been on a massive roll lately. So you almost, Chase McCoy obviously, isn't old or anything, but you kind of saw, from day one to now, you kind of saw the best from day one, and now you're seeing the best from now. And I thought that was, I don't know if that's what was planned out, but it was very, I'm not trying to, break kayfabe or whatever, but it was very symbolic, and I thought that was really cool. I thought, it was really, these guys put together an amazing matchup. And in the end, it was just, it was almost gross. So pretty much what happened was Chase McCoy had the win. And then you see Roadhouse, James Vincent get in the ring, and he goes, he tries to go diesel on frickin' Chase McCoy, and he, jackknife power bombs him through a chair. And, Chase McCoy, okay, I'll give it to this. I'm not trying to break kayfabe again, dude. I'm sorry. We do it sometimes on the show. But, man, James Vincent came in the ring with that chair, and he just nailed Chase across the head. I don't know if you saw this, but, some guys, they'll try to get their hands up there. They'll try to block the chair shot. They'll try to turn or something. He took that thing like Ken Shamrock on Rock via 1996 when he, I don't know if that's the right year.
Like A.C. Riley when he took a steel chair
exactly.
to Sexy KC.
Yeah, exactly. He nailed him right
yeah,
on the
– Yeah, I shameless plugged myself.
He nailed him on the top of the skull, and I was like, that guy's going to be unconscious. Like, what a hit. So then after that, he picks him up and jackknife powerbombs him out through the chair. And the chair wasn't just laying there. Like, he set the chair up and he went through the chair. And then, Peter Schwanz ended up getting the victory. Last SWE show going out as the final Supreme Wrestling Entertainment champion standing. Here's one thing we haven't even mentioned yet, by the way. Nathan Gust came in, as you just mentioned, Nathan Gust not too long ago. And he was the special guest referee. He's been out. He had a kid. He's kind of been taking a step back from wrestling. But he came back.
Baby daddy Nathan Gust.
He came back. He's really, really good friends with Peter Schwanz. And it was very apparent throughout the entire matchup that, odds were against Chase McCoy. And he just couldn't overcome him. It's hard. It's one thing when you have a guy in your corner. Hell, it's one thing if you're like the Ross family and you're facing like three guys, two guys in the corner and, the guy in the ring. But when you also have to face the referee, it's almost impossible to win. And Chase McCoy almost pulled it out. But, James Vincent decided just to go all bonkers and put him through a chair.
Hashtag Beaver Dam Screwjob.
Hashtag Beaver Dam Screwjob. So, Peter Schwanz ended up walking out the champ. Ended the show on a little bit of a bitter note. But at the same time, right now Peter Schwanz was, he was huge. And I'm not certain if there would have been anybody else besides Chase McCoy that deserved that belt going out on the last show than Peter Schwanz.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But you said it great. Chase McCoy really should have walked out as the last SWE champion. But, it's really hard. I've wrestled against the Ross family, and I know from that experience that it's really not easy to go 3-on-1. And when you have 3-on-1 against you, it's really hard. It doesn't matter how psychotic you are, is that, you're still one person against three people, and one of them is a monster of a man, aka Roadhouse.
Yeah, and you know, let's just be honest right now, right? So you know, it's the last Supreme Wrestling Entertainment show. The matches were all great. You know, we usually do our recap and everything right now, and we kind of tried. You know, we gave you guys, a basic idea of who won the matches. We kind of talked about some of the bigger matchups that happened. But, you know, one thing I kind of want to talk about, it's Supreme Wrestling Entertainment's last show. And, I mean, we have another probably 8 minutes where we can try to fit this in here. But, it was really emotional. I mean, it's almost sad because, it was a constant booking that, Bell to Bell Productions, both Jesse Von Rudin and Ryan Brown, myself, you, a couple other guys that, went to on a monthly, consistent basis. The direction the show was headed, it made me look forward to it. One thing I think Supreme Wrestling Entertainment does really good that I'm not sure if a lot of other companies do is, they put on a great product, but they also tell a great story. And I think that's really cool about SWE is, instead of not only going to every show and looking forward to the action I'm going to see in the ring, I looked forward and how storylines were going to be progressing, how exactly this guy was going to improve from the last show, or exactly where an angle was going to be happening and how things were going to differ from show to show. I mean, hell, I ride with you up there. I ride with you on the way back. I see you on a consistent basis. And I still was like, what is Youth Gone Wild going to do this month? Or like, what's the whole thing between ISIS and AC Riley? Like, what's going to happen there? And, there's a lot of really interesting content. And it makes me really sad that we're not going to get to, continue to be blessed with that kind of entertainment, and it saddens me.
Yeah, it saddens me too because I mean, we were starting to get the criticism that we were SWE fanboys, and because of the fact that SWE was our solid booking for the past 3 years. I mean, that was the one where the promoter would be like, "Hey, I need you these days," and he would let us know far enough in advance. And the reason, and that's the other thing too, is that like while it's important that we had a great product. It's also important to remember, too, that like they had really great roots starting out. I mean, they were really financially responsible, and that's something that a whole lot of indie feds kind of lack, it seems, is that like there's a lot of good ones that stand there and stand tall on their merit and everything like that, but some tend to sizzle out within the first or second year, ones that are even closer to us because, they ran out of money. They couldn't keep putting on shows because they were in the red already. And that was one thing that was nice about SWE. They had that firm financial background to keep these shows going for as long as it would. And it was important to remember, too, that they didn't run out of money, and that's why they're stopping the show. It was because there's other commitments going on that, unfortunately, the show had, the show could not go on.
Yeah, I mean, if you just want to talk about it, too, after the show was over, it was revealed to everybody in the audience. I think we're okay to say it because it's been caught on tape. It's going to be spread. Sexy KC came out, and, he ended up, we know now that, KC owned Supreme Wrestling Entertainment. He came out and had a few words with the fans. And, it's so much of a coincidence that it was Sexy KC's last match and, Supreme Wrestling Entertainment was done. But it almost saddens you because when you talk about Supreme Wrestling Entertainment and success it's had, you almost look to the man behind the scenes, which was Sexy KC. And we know Sexy KC. And, if you want to talk about promoters, bookers, what have you, he's gone through a lot this past year, And he really kind of just laid it out on the line when he went in that ring and tried, talking to the fans. And I think he wasn't only just, trying to talk to the fans about the show, but he was talking to a lot of the boys in the back, too. It was kind of just, here's what's going on. This is what I'm trying to tell you guys. I'm done and all this other stuff. And I think it was really respectable. And not only is it sad to see Supreme Wrestling Entertainment go, but, I mean, Sexy KC, say what you want about the guy. Phenomenal entertainer. I mean, he really knew how to get the best of his opponent. I mean, ask AC Riley if you want to know about getting the best of your opponent.
Oh, yeah.
And he knew how to get the crowd involved. He was everything that professional wrestling on the independent scene really needs to be. And, I'm not trying to brown nose or anything, but whatever. But I'm just trying to say, it's sad when, overall, I guess, when there's, a guy, a company, announcer, what have you, that is involved in independent wrestling, does a great job of what they do and has such a passion for it that just can't continue to do it anymore.
Yeah, that's one of the worst things is that when the spirit is willing, but the body is unable to do it. In this case, it's more that everything about you is willing to do it. It's just that circumstances won't allow you to do it. And that's an unfortunate path. But you know what? You got to give the man, his credit because he could have been like, well, screw these circumstances. I'm going to keep running the shows and put his life in a lot more of shambles.
Exactly.
And everything like that.
And we've seen that before.
He's smart to be like, I can't keep doing the shows. I need to follow my commitments. And yeah.
Exactly. You know, and that's one thing that plagues a lot of guys in the independent wrestling scene. Or even, you know, if you want to talk about WWE, TNA, is that guys don't know when to say, you know, they can't do it anymore. And that's another commendable thing. You know, I mean, it sucks that it's going away. But, I mean, just think about that for a second. Think about all the guys and all the people that were like, no, keep this going. Come on. You know, and he had enough.
He would have had a sport if he wanted to keep running.
Exactly.
But.
I'm going to, you know, talk about Vince McMahon. You know, he had big enough grapefruits to be able to say, you know, I can't. And, you know,
Did you just say that?
I said grapefruits. I did. I wanted to use it. I've been trying to use it for the past couple of weeks. Finally found a spot to slip it in.
Oh, my goodness.
And I did. So that makes me happy. Anyways, you know, so that's Supreme Wrestling Entertainment's recap of Road to Champion the Night 4. If you didn't make it to the show, you can always check out Supreme Wrestling Entertainment on Facebook or go to SupremeWrestlingEntertainment.com to see the results. Or, hey, you can even probably just, you know, shoot us up, Facebook.com/RAQGrappleTalk. Is that right?
GrappleTalkRAQ. Twitter is RAQGrappleTalk.
Or Twitter, RAQGrappleTalk. And we'll let you know how the show went and give you all the deeds on that if you have any more detailed questions.
30 deeds on dirt cheap.
Coming up, we got Spotlight in the Squared Circle. We're sitting down with one man who had a matchup this past Saturday, the Honorable One, Judge Jesse. So he'll be on for our Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment, so you don't want to miss that one, guys. This guy has been in the ring with Chris Jericho and Lance Storm. Did you know that?
He was trained by them.
Exactly. So it's more than being in the ring with them. He learned from them.
Dungeon Legacy.
He's a Dungeon Legacy, so you don't want to miss this one, guys. We got Honorable Judge Jesse on the horn right after this here on RAQ. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Let me tell you something about respect! Huh? You want to hear a little bit about respect?
I would love to hear about respect.
I respect!
Nick Ragnar and A.C. Riley.
As a group, we do.
Be sure to tune in every Monday from 4 to 5 and every Friday from 6 to 7. You can also listen to every episode on iTunes. Just search Grapple Talk.
RAQ, Lacrosse's student and community-run station.
Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio. God, I love that promo. That's funny to me. My name is Nick Ragnar, joined by AC Riley, and we are sitting down with the Honorable One, Judge Jesse, for our Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment. What is going on, Judge, today?
Not much, guys. What's happening? Good afternoon.
You know, doing all right. It sounds like you're doing pretty ducky over there. By the way, ducky. Let the listeners know, what does ducky mean? Because I was actually kind of baffled by it.
It's on the equivalent of, like, maybe peachy or swell even.
Well, it's a better word.
Well,
glad to
hear you're doing ducky as it is. So, Jesse, you're here for the Spotlight in the Squared Circle, and we like to start things off by just kind of letting the listeners get to know who you are. I mean, you've wrestled all over Wisconsin. You're wrestling over in Michigan lately these days. But maybe for the people that are over in Arizona that maybe haven't heard who Judge Jesse is, just give them a little introduction of who you are.
Sure. Basically, I'm a guy that likes to lay down the law in the ring. Kind of defy expectations somewhat. I mean, I'm a smaller guy, but I can go toe-to-toe with the bigger guys. There's basically a cruiserweight, but, you know, I can pretty much do it all. Like, I can have an entertaining match. I can have a high-flying match, scientific match, whatever.
He's a jack of all trades. And one thing that you didn't really mention that we were talking about a little bit before the break is that you're a dungeon legacy. And by a legacy, I mean that you were trained by guys that were trained in the dungeon, you know, Lance Storm and Chris Jericho. And, you know, going through training myself, I can only imagine what it was like to be trained by guys, you know, that were trained in one of the most famous training camps, you know, in wrestling history. So tell us a little bit about that. How was it like getting trained by two of those greats?
Well, they weren't, I mean, they were obviously great, but at the time, you know, this was before anybody knew who they were, really. Basically, they just considered themselves one of the guys, and they treated us, you know, no different than any of them. So that was cool. But you could tell, you know, they were going places. But not that it was all fun and games either. I mean, they really ran us ragged, so I think we needed that.
You know, exactly what is that like? How was it inside the ring with, you know, two guys that went on to, you know, wrestle regularly for, you know, promotions like WCW, ECW, WWE?
Basically, well, obviously you didn't find out until a few years.
Yeah, of course.
How big they were going to be, but yeah, it's. I guess I could never really ask for a better training than that. I have to mention Ed Langley, who actually was the head trainer of the camp, but Jericho and Storm actually were the guys that actually got in there and got in with us and threw us around and basically, you know, taught us what to do and, more importantly, I think, not what to, what not to do.
Okay, so we're talking about training, but let's move on from training. So we're talking about you're the Honorable Judge Jesse. Where exactly did Judge Jesse come from?
To be honest with you, I thought of it one day. I was thinking of different ways to basically get over with the fans and whatnot. Jumping Jesse wasn't really doing it, so.
Jumping Jesse. Was that your
yeah,
first gimmick, or?
Well, my first gimmick, my first wrestling gimmick was actually Jazzy Jesse, and that was even lamer. Basically, I was just a
groovy.
Yeah, well, I did that for one match, and then I took off for 4 years. I wasn't really interested in it for a while. Wrestling was in kind of a down period, and back in '97, I just like, you know, I need to give this a better shot. So I came back as Jumpin' Jesse. Barcelona Dragons jersey, basically my gimmick, you know, and I jumped around. Basically, that was all my gimmick. And then about a year of that, finally I woke up one day. Literally, I just had the gimmick, the whole gimmick, Judge Chip gimmick in my head. I'm like, oh, yeah. Robe, gavel, wig, that's it. We're going with this. And been doing it ever since.
You know, I'm glad you elaborated a little bit more about why you were taking off that 4 years. I thought you were about to say that you wrestled the one time as Jazzy Judge Jesse, or Jazzy Jesse, and then you're like, you know what? Screw this. I'm done. 4 year break.
Well, I mean, I guess, but I mean, it was my own volition of, you know, the gimmick and everything. So I really can't blame anybody but myself. But yeah, the gimmick was pretty lame.
Well, you know, Jesse, like we mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, Wisconsin and Michigan are two places that we've seen a lot of you in action lately. You know, you'll be you just wrestled, you know, Big Peter Swans just this past Saturday. You'll be over at the Lords of Hardcore, you know, in just a couple weeks. What's some other places that you've been wrestling around in the time you've been in your career?
Well, I wrestled a lot in Chicago about 10, 12 years ago, something like that. IWC, I've wrestled a lot in Minnesota for with guys like Eddie Sharkey and, you know, MPW and things like that. But mostly, and well, obviously, yeah, you said the UPW, but mostly pretty much in the Midwest. Obviously, for you, I wrestled in Iowa first time last year, so.
All right. Well, apparently we were trying to deliberate who wanted to ask the next question, but you know, but yeah. So I mean, Chicago, you know, Iowa. You mentioned, you know, what's one thing we always notice is that, like, one thing we like to figure out too is that with different states, it always seems like there's kind of a different setting, a different feel to it. So I mean, we've kind of seen what's like for Wisconsin,
yep,
and what it is for Minnesota, and obviously for Iowa. A little bit. We're kind of on the borderline, but we probably should look a little bit more into Iowa. But, you know, tell us a little bit about, like, wrestling for, like, Chicago, or even, you know, wrestling over in Michigan. You know, like, we know from UPW that it's definitely a lot more hardcore and everything like that. So what's it like having Judge Jesse wrestle in a more hardcore vibe to it?
Personally, I've never really done death matches or things like that nature, but I actually considered recently, I just thought of it, like, you know, I can really compete well in a lot of different types of matches. I consider myself like a specialty match specialist,
right?
Whether it be ladder matches, tables matches, Indian strat match. I thought I had a really good one with Coyote a couple years back.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, and then you busted your head open, and you.
Yeah,
you had like a, you know, laceration that put mine to shame back in March. One thing also, you know, one thing I want to make sure too about Chicago. What's like wrestling over in Chicago? Which I don't know about Nick, but I consider Chicago like one of the wrestling
bigger
havens,
markets,
especially here like in the Midwest area. I consider that kind of like the central hub of indie wrestling. So what was it like wrestling in that area?
It was a blast. Really, not just Chicago, but like anywhere the new that I go, I feel like I have to prove myself. Especially, you know, if they've never seen me, they don't know what Judge Jesse's all about. Basically, I just really just try to give, you know, I always try to give 110%, but even more so, like when I'm going to these new federations, because, you know, I want to come back, or at least have them want me back. So, yeah, and I actually got over really well, had the cruiserweight belt for a few months, you know, in the IWC, and just, you know, from there, you know, I never really got back there since then, but Frontier, I did go back there, but.
You want to talk about how, you know, you wrestled in Chicago, you said 10 to 12 years ago, so you've been around for quite some time, and what I kind of want to know is, have you noticed at all, I guess, in the 10 or 12 or, you know, however long you've been in the business, have you noticed, like, maybe a shift or, you know, some sort of difference in independent professional wrestling that has changed over that period of time?
Yeah, I think it's actually becoming more exciting again. You've seen a lot of up-and-coming guys, like, pretty much all at the same time. Like, you have Cornstache, you have Jordy Lee, you have, you know, just all these guys, different types of guys. And, you know, they're really improving. They're helping us improve. And so, you know, I'm excited to be a part of all this.
You know, like we just talked about, too, you've been around for a long time, and you said you took about 4 years off. But what's really kept you going the past couple of years? You know, I mean, guys that have been around for, you know, ever so long sometimes decide to, you know, leave the biz, whether it be, you know, they have some sort of other, something else they need to get taken care of. But, you know, you've been sticking with it for such a long time. What's really kept you staying inside the squared circle week in and week out?
Sure. I don't think I've really gone as far as I can go, not necessarily like, you know, up to, like, obviously not going to go to the WWE, but I still feel like I have a lot to prove, and I think really when you don't, that's probably when you should start looking out. But yeah, it's basically, you know, I still have an artistic vision of what I think I can do, and I'm still not there yet. So,
you know, you talk about your artistic vision, so what would you say is your ultimate end goal? Is that, you know, for a lot of people, it's to make it to the WWE. Some people just want to get, you know, a certain match just knocked out of the park and then they're done, whether it's indie or the big screen. So what is Judge Jesse's end game, and what is your artistic vision entail?
I think probably to make everyone, you know, the fans or whatever, or the promoters say, man, you know, that was a hell of a match. There's no way you can top that, or, you know, there's no way that you can follow that kind of thing, you know what I mean? I've had matches that were close to perfect, in my opinion, at least, but you know, it's still, you know, most people never get there, and I'm still trying to do that, so I think that's part of the thing that keeps me going.
Yeah, you know, it seems like wrestlers are always their biggest critic. You know, I can account for myself, at least, is that, you know, I'll have a match where people will say, yeah, you did a really great job, you know, we're proud of that, and I'm thinking it could have been better. You know, like, it could have been a lot better than how it was. And even if you look at the tapes and you're like, oh, it actually wasn't as bad as I thought. But still, it's always that, you know, like you just mentioned, is that, like, it could be almost perfect, but it's just like, you know, if you would have done this right, or you would have done this or anything like that, maybe it would have been a little bit differently. So I think that's one thing that's always nice about having those cameras, whether it's, you know, for a fancy cable production or if it's just, you know, grabbing a camera and putting it on a tripod. But it's definitely helping to get wrestlers back in that position where they can actually start having those 99.9% perfect matches.
Well, yeah, and even this past Saturday when I wrestled Big Peter Schwanz, there are cameras there, but I didn't see the match yet, and I know, you know, what I did wrong, and I know there were some things I definitely could have improved on in that match. I thought it was a good hard-hitting match, but but my neck and my head here feel a little bit differently today. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you should be, even if you're, like, really, really, really good, the really good ones will usually even try to get better and find something to critique about, because that's one of the things that makes them good.
One thing I find really interesting about the whole Judge Jesse thing is I really like the, I believe you call it the capital punishment, which is your top rope finisher.
Actually, it's the final verdict.
Oh, the final verdict. Yeah, I think Von Rudin's been calling it the capital punishment all this time, but
close enough.
Well, his final verdict is that he'll be guilty of calling up the wrong finisher names.
Oh, there you go, man. That sounds
pretty cool. Yeah, I might just give give it to him next time.
But where did you exactly come up with the final verdict then? I mean, it's a really interesting way to try to put somebody away. You don't see a lot of guys do something like that. So, you know, where did you come up with that to use as your finisher?
I kind of like in around the camp time. I don't know if it was actually before the camp or after, you know, but around that time, you know, I wanted something to step myself apart because, you know, I'm a relatively small guy, especially smaller back then. But just something like high flying, just to be a little different. Now I'm not sure actually which capital punishment or final verdict you're talking about, because I actually have two of them, but one of them only actually ever hit once because I can never quite get the timing down right. But the front flip leg drop and the helicopter splash.
The helicopter splash is the one. The helicopter splash is the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean basically, just from just doing it, you know, just doing it in camp and the things of that nature, just practicing, and hey, you know, that would be kind of cool, I think, at least, you know, so I think it seems to be getting over, so why not?
You know, another thing too, you know, talk about practicing some of your moves, just trying to get everything all crisp and clean, is that, you know, while people are training, you know, a lot of the guys, you know, even like this guy over here who's trying to eat a mic, I don't know what the hell he's doing. Maybe he got a few brain cells knocked over on Saturday when he was in the camp. But, you know, like, we always see you in the ring, always working out and stuff like that, which is a lot different from some of the guys that are in there. It's like some of the vets, they'll hang out and they'll just kind of, you know, jibber jabber or whatever you want to call it. But then we always see you in the ring, always trying to work out, always trying to, you know, get yourself all crisp and everything like that. And it's definitely the monument to the fact that a lot of wrestlers, you know, it doesn't matter how many years you've been in business, you're always a student of the game, because I don't know how you feel about this, but, you know, when you feel like you've known everything, that's like the ultimate time to call it quits.
Yeah, trust me, I don't know everything. But basically it's elaborating on what we were before. Like, you know, if you're chasing perfection, in the camp, one thing that Ed Langley taught us and told us was that he says, practice makes perfect. No. Perfect practice makes perfection. So, you know, we were always...
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, right. So, you know, basically, you know, how can you really expect to do everything you want to do, you know, if you actually don't know if you're, for one, going to be able to do it? And basically, it's like other guys, too. They training someone helps me become better.
You know, Judge, you kind of talk about how you like to do, you're kind of a jack of all trades. Is there actually somebody that you kind of model what you do in the ring after?
I'd like to say, actually, it might be surprising for you, but Rey Mysterio.
Oh. Rey Mysterio.
I tried to steal some of his moves early on in my career, and, you know, there's no way that, you know, anyone can do what he does, basically. I'm a big fan of his, but otherwise, like, persona-wise, pretty much drawing from everybody, like from Bret Hart, maybe slightly from like Ric Flair, but a lot of the like the old time greats. My favorite of all time is Ron Garvin, but there's nothing I can really copy from him. But no, there's no
yeah. It's you know one
I
thing
echo there.
One thing that's also interesting is that you know, one thing that we always like to ask the guests on the Spotlight and Squared Circle is just sort of where they got started off with this. I mean, like, for some people, it's just that, you know, they stumbled upon a wrestling show and they really got into it. Some people were watching, you know, a certain wrestling show as a kid. So what was your origin? Like, what kind of gave you that point where you said, you know what, I want to start doing this?
Well, actually, when I was a kid, I hated wrestling.
I used
to watch it on TV, and we'd always want to watch cartoons. So, but it wasn't until like I was like a teenager and whatnot, I started watching it. My dad was watching; he was always a big fan. But I don't know exactly what, you know, caused me to jump in this direction. But I was kind of flipped by like Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen busting Dusty Rhodes' ankle back in '85. You know, like, oh man, you know, I got to see what happens next. And you know, it was kind of like a golden age of wrestling back then, at least, you know, the kind of that I liked. And I basically just wanted to do it, you know, and so.
You know, the fact that you wanted to watch cartoons over wrestling, I'm not going to lie, like, that's starting to actually make a lot of sense of why you have that comedically huge gavel. Is that maybe that's just some tribute to your childhood wish of watching cartoons.
No, actually, a fan gave that to me.
A fan gave that to you?
Who was that from? Well,
but you accepted it because you like cartoons.
The sign guy gave you that?
He said I'm his favorite wrestler, so he gave me a regular-sized gavel and that giant gavel.
Well, apparently he's the only one that that knows where you shop for wigs because he's the only guy that I've seen wearing
true,
wigs.
That's true, yeah. He's a huge supporter.
So, you know, Jesse, we're almost out of time here for the Spotlight and Squared Circle. And one thing we like to end on a positive note is just we like to imagine a scenario. So, you know, say that you're, you know, trying to sell tickets for a wrestling show. And, you know, somebody's thinking, well, I'm not a wrestling fan. Why would I want to go to the show? What would you tell them? Why should they still go to an independent wrestling show despite being a wrestling fan?
Probably because they are close enough to actually touch the wrestlers, even though they shouldn't, obviously, but they're close enough to touch, they're close enough to yell and actually have the wrestlers hear you, which you can't see in the WWE or TNA. Oh, well, maybe TNA you can, but, but yeah, or, you know, even close enough to smell them, probably, which probably isn't a good thing, but it's just the interaction with the wrestlers, you know, that's, you can yell anything you want, you can, you know, just basically be a jerk and, you know, have them take it, you know, really. So, I mean, I think that's a lot of fun. That this part is probably the best part of indie wrestling, I think.
Yeah, well, one good part I think about indie wrestling is getting to see Judge Jesse every single month, and hopefully we'll be crossing paths once again after Supreme Wrestling Entertainment folds. But thank you for coming on today on the Spotlight and Squared Circle, and yeah, we'll look forward to seeing you. I know Alex might be going up to UPW, so maybe we'll be seeing up there.
No doubt. And, thanks for having me, and obviously, have fun with you guys.
Well, that was Jesse, Judge Jesse, the Honorable One, on RAQ's Grapple Talk, Spotlight and Squared Circle.
And, yeah, we'll be right back. And
hey, what are we doing after this?
Well, we were going to do Wrestler's Perspective, but I was like, nope, we're going to do another Day in the Life of the Trainee,
oh, man,
which is next, right after this.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
I got the biggest Tootsie Cold Roll collection in Wisconsin! This is so great!
You spent $10,000 on Tootsie Rolls?
That's great!
I know!
Yes!
Here on RAQ Radio.
You have a secret spot for Tootsie Rolls, right?
I can't tell you that.
RAQ, LaCrosse's student and community-run station.
Grapple Talking RAQ. We're back now, man. Did you know?
We're back. Do we need to take a quick break for you to get all the sillies out?
No. It's too much fun during the breaks.
Well, you know what? It's not fun time anymore because it's a day in the life of the trainee.
Oh, God.
Yeah, turn out the sound if you're going to actually start doing this because guess what? School is going to be in session in just a few seconds. There it is. School's in session.
What the hell was up with that bell noise?
School is in session because it is a day in a life of training.
What is that?
Popping circumstance.
Oh, man.
Alrighty. So here's the question for this week's day in the life of the trainee. So one thing that is definitely important for any wrestler to have is conditioning, cardio. Remember,
yeah.
Jarrett Jax was talking about that last
week. Oh, yeah, I know
that. Is that cardio is very important, mm-hmm. especially in a singles competition. Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn off your mic until I need to actually start let you
No,
talk.
You're not, or I'll give you a DDT.
Anyways, so here's a question I have for you is that, you know, you were training just this past Saturday. You were definitely running circles around the guy. Not so much literally running circles, but there's a couple other trainees in there. Weren't really going the distance as you were. So how do you feel that, you know, do you feel that your conditioning back in high school and all that stuff, do you feel like that really helped you be where you were at right
I don't
now?
Know. I think it's a combination of things. Like when I get in the ring, you know, the other guys in the ring, they're great. You know, Pat and Jason, they're both really good guys. They see a lot more ring time.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
So I think whenever I get in the
ring. I don't know how I would say about they see more ring time. They see more recent ring time, but I feel like.
Yeah. Well,
I feel like if you balance your ring time and their ring time, it would be about the same.
Well, for me, I always train as if, like, it's going to be my last time training. Like, because I never know.
It probably is going to be.
Because I never know how long it's going to be until the next time I train. So when I get in the ring and I train, I want to be in there as much as possible. And I think part of the whole conditioning thing is part of its drive. I'm not saying that they didn't have drive. I think they do. But I think they have more of an outlook of, hey, I'll be training maybe next week or the following week, or you know, maybe I'll be training next month. But for me, it's like I don't know if I'm gonna be training again, so I want to make sure that I keep this going, you know. So, yeah, pretty much when I'm in the ring, it's part of being conditioned, but it's also part of just wanting to be in the ring and wanting to keep going. Now, there's a different story about that, though, because when I'm training and they had me doing monkey tosses, right?
Yeah.
So they kept throwing me in the turnbuckle, and they'd come up, you know, they'd do a monkey toss. And just from getting tossed into the turnbuckle like 18 times, I was gassed, man. Like, I
blew up. Yeah, you were pretty sweaty.
Yeah, I was tired. So, I mean, you know, I think people looking to break into the business, one thing they need to realize is just how physically demanding it is inside the ring. Like, people want to say wrestling's fake and all that other stuff all they want, but man, I was just tired. But yeah, so it's time, we're done.
Class is over. I hope you enjoyed your little lecture there, but unfortunately the bell rang you up. That is this week's little segment afterwards. Not the wrestler's perspective, it's a day in the life of the trainee. We like to do that every now and then, mainly because sometimes you usually get to train a whole lot of the time, so we like to...
But we are running out of time. We're going to jump into this really quick. We got a couple of shows coming up this weekend. BCW Fandemonium Friday, this Friday, April the 18th, the Knights of Columbus, 1800 South 92 Street in West Allis, Wisconsin. Bell time's at 7:30. Doors open at 6:45. Tickets, $15, or you can only get them for 10 if you go on their website, www.BrewCityWrestling1. That's the number one, not the word one, all one word, BrewCityWrestling1.com. Using PayPal.
Pro Wrestling Battleground the next day, Saturday, April 19th at 6. Wolewski's Blue Saloon and Rice Street, St. Paul, Minnesota. Doors open at 5:30. Bell time at 6. Tickets are $10 for adults and 5 for kids. And that is Pro Wrestling Battleground.
That's Pro Wrestling Battleground. Make sure you check out both PWB. I don't think they even call it that, but it sounds kind of cool. It sounds like I'm saying in the WB.
All right, that's enough.
And BCW this weekend. My name's Nick Ragner for AC Riley. You've been listening to Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio. Stay classy, folks, and support indie wrestling.